This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi wahdahu wa sallallahu wa sallama ala man la nabiyya ba'dahu wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Moments ago we were taken literally to Makkah in the Haram. Don't you agree? Yes, those who know, know. MashaAllah, Sheikh Munir's recitation is so beautiful that when we uploaded it onto YouTube the last time, they gave us a copyright strike believing it was Sheikh Mahir al-Mu'aykili. And when we contested it, they disagreed and said, no, he's lip-syncing to the voice of Sheikh Mahir. I happened to send that to Sheikh Mahir and he just had nothing to say, MashaAllah. So this is amazing. The recital you had this evening is the closest imitation of Sheikh Mahir al-Mu'aykili of the Haram in Makkatul Mukarramah. When Sheikh Munir came back to sit there, I said, my brother, you should have completed the story. It's the story of Sulaiman and Bilqis. You know, as much as it's a very, very powerful story about the ants and the hudhud and so on, it's also a bit of a love story, mashallah. May Allah grant us goodness and ease. But there are a lot of lessons to be learned from this. Sulaiman alayhi salam used to make a dua, supplication to Allah. Rabbi ghfirli, O Allah, forgive me. And the reason I'm repeating this is all of us need to know what were these supplications that worked with other people. They worked. Imagine you use certain words to ask Allah something and you got that thing. Although it has a lot to also do with your sincerity, with your connection with Allah, and so on. But one thing, when he made the dua, he started off asking Allah what he wants by saying, Rabbi ghfirli, O Allah, forgive me. From this I learn that I need to seek the forgiveness of Allah before I ask him what I want all the time. Whenever you want Allah to give you something, first thing you do, seek forgiveness. From what? Things I know I did that were wrong, things I don't know I did were wrong, things perhaps I've forgotten that I did were wrong, minor things, major things, whatever it may have been, seek forgiveness of Allah. And do not doubt the fact that he has forgiven you. Because one of the plots of shaitan is, he makes man think that you're not forgiven by Allah because what you did was massive. Whereas man forgets that what Adam alayhi salam did right at the beginning was very big. It was massive, even more massive than what you can imagine, because the only thing ever that was prohibited for Adam and Eve, or Hawa, may peace be on them, was to eat from the tree. And what did they do? Exactly that. You follow? And they just said a few words that were taught to them by Allah, seeking forgiveness. And Allah says, we forgave them. So, O man, remember one thing, do not for a moment think that the Almighty will not forgive your sin. That's from shaitan. That type of thought is from shaitan. If you sought forgiveness, you will be forgiven. So the major sins require specific forgiveness and you must learn to move on. Because sometimes shaitan comes to bog you down. Like I said earlier, he doesn't want you to believe you're forgiven. So what happens? You can't move on. You don't enjoy worship. You don't enjoy reading the Quran. You don't enjoy prayer. You don't enjoy doing the right thing because you feel you're dirty or you're not clean enough or you've done things that were so bad that, you know what, I'm not even fit to be praying here. Again, that's from the devil. So don't think that. No matter what, you've got to move on. Major sins require you to seek specific forgiveness. Oh Allah, I did this, this, this. I regret it. I feel the remorse. I seek forgiveness from you and I won't do it again. And Allah says, if those conditions are met, wiped out. How good is that for Islam, a religion of forgiveness? Amazing, amazing. Every single person has committed sins. From amongst us, not one can say that I am spotless, right? Every one of us. We've done things. Different levels, I agree. Different levels. But don't for a moment think that you're too far from the mercy of Allah. Because anything you ever want, you're going to have to make peace with Allah. To make peace with Allah, one of the most important cornerstones is to say, Rabbi ghfirli, O Allah, forgive me. Rabbi ghfirli, O Allah, forgive me. So much so that the dua to read between the two sajdas, if you didn't know, you know, we make one prostration, We go down to sujood on the seven bones. I'm sure you know which seven bones they are. If you want me to repeat them, put your hand up. Okay. أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أَسْجُدَ عَلَى سَبْعَةِ أَعْظُمَ الْجَبْهَةِ وَأَشَارَ بِيَدِهِ إِلَى أَنْفِهِ وَالْيَدَيْنِ وَالرُّكْبَتَيْنِ وَأَطْرَافِ الْقَدَمَيْنِ. The Prophet, peace be upon him, says, I've been ordered to prostrate, meaning sajda, on seven bones. And he said the forehead, and he pointed at his nose, because that's one bone, right? So the forehead needs to be on the ground. Al-jabha wa ashara biyadihi ila anfihi. And he pointed with his hand to his nose. Wal-yadayni wal-qadamayni wa atraf al-qadamayn. Al-rukbatayni wa atraf al-qadamayn. The two hands, that makes it three. The knees, that makes it five. And the tips of your toes, that makes it seven. So the tips of the toes, the knees, the two hands, and the forehead with the nose. That's seven. So we prostrate for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We go down in prostration for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We seek the forgiveness of Allah, and we know for a fact we've been forgiven. A person who turns to Allah, Allah will always grant them forgiveness. You know, before I continue, I remembered one thing. This evening, I'd like to give every one of you an opportunity, or whoever wants an opportunity, to put up your hands and to share with us something that happened in your life, either that made you change or that motivated you, or something that was very negative that occurred and how you coped with it, in order to inspire the rest of us, because we're all human. And we all go through similar things. If you want to share it, or if you feel you want to ask something specific related to something that's happened to you, perhaps you may do so, but just in 1 minute. So bear that in mind, because if you have the courage to put up your hand and to just share a minute of motivation, I will be quite strict, in the sense that if you're going to get up and start telling us all about the price of eggs in China and so on, we're going to stop you. Because we already know the price of eggs in China. It's on Alibaba, as you know. But at the same time, inshallah, here this evening, what we'd like to do is to talk to one another, to be able to motivate one another, to be able to uplift one another, to remind ourselves that every one of us is very similar, yet unique. Similar in so many ways, but unique in identity, unique in circumstances. Allah's chosen circumstances for you and I that are absolutely unique. What's going to happen and what has happened in your life is very different from what's happened in other people's lives from one aspect. But from a lot of other aspects, it's similar. You're a mu'min, you need to believe, you need to turn to Allah. Challenges will come. Your challenges are slightly different from mine. And guess what? You're going to have to deal with it. But your life as a whole is absolutely unique. You were born to different parents, you're in a different home, you ate different food, even though it might have been similar cuisine. This evening we're going to be having a beautiful meal. You know, I see some people who've been here so many times, and mashallah, it really, it's a boost for me. The reason is, actually I've seen a few people. There's one brother here has been here for almost all my talks, and today he's come with his whole family. Mashallah, tabarakallah, subhanallah. And what does it tell me? It tells me, hey, you know, perhaps what you're doing is, you know, having an impact on the people. But more than that, it tells me the food at Saffron is really good. Right? So alhamdulillah, that's a good thing. Mashallah, mashallah. And I'm so excited to see my brother Robert on the left. I just noticed he's here. I haven't seen him in ages. But alhamdulillah, my brother, I'm excited to see you. Jazakallah khair. So we were saying that Allah Almighty, to seek forgiveness of Allah is something that is the starting point. When you want to ask Allah something, the closest you can ever be is sujood, prostration. أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ لِرَبِّهِ وَهُوَ سَاجِدٌ. The closest that a slave can ever be to their Lord is in the condition of prostration. Now, I was telling you, between the two prostrations, we say رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي. Do you know that dua? You're supposed to be making a dua at different times, right, in your prayer. One of them is between the two prostrations. In some of the schools of thought, it's actually mandatory. And some of them, it's not mandatory. But what is the dua? The dua is, رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي. That's the simple part of it, the simple way. You could say a slightly longer dua. The point I'm raising is, oh Allah, forgive me. I went down, prostrated. I said, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, you are the greatest, O my Lord. Glory be to the one who made me, the one who's in control of every aspect of my existence. And what are we saying? You are the highest. Come up from sujood, you say Allahu Akbar and say Rabbi ghafirli, oh Allah, forgive me. Who's going to forgive you? The one who you just described in your sujood. And then you go back to another sujood. Subhanallah. Amazing. Everything happens in salah once in a unit. Besides sujood, it happens twice. That's Allah. So seek the forgiveness of Allah and get onto the same page, then ask Him what you want. Rabbi ghafirli, oh Allah, forgive me. That also shows me that the seeking of forgiveness is one of the most important supplications that you can ever make. What's the other most important one? There's another one that I always say. The most repeated dua in history, the most repeated supplication on earth is which one? See if you guys were listening to some of my previous talks. Say it loudly. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. That's the dua. Guide us to the straight path. Don't you say it every rak'ah. Guide us to the straight path. Guide us to the straight path. So those are two powerful things you as a believer needs to know. I ask Allah to guide me to the straight path, and I ask Him to give me forgiveness. Grant me forgiveness. I'm weak. I'm human. You know, we walk, we talk, we do things. We actually, even as we're walking in here, perhaps like with myself, I try to be conscious about what's going on, but sometimes you can't. Sometimes you're a human. And you know what? It happens that you're living in the real world. It's not an ideal place. Allah's created the ideal place as paradise, not as this world. So we say, oh Allah, forgive me for that which I know, that which I don't know, that which I perhaps didn't even consider was sinful against you, O Allah. Without your mercy, I am nothing. So here's Sulaiman alayhi salam. Rabbi ghafirli, O Allah, forgive me. Wa habli mulka la yanbaghi li ahadin min ba'di. O Allah, forgive me and grant me kingdom. Habli mulk. Grant me kingdom, ownership of that which no one after me will have. Did you hear that? No one after me will have. And he continued by mentioning the beautiful names of Allah. You see, when you ask Allah for cure, you can say, oh Allah, grant me cure. That's a good dua. May Allah grant all of us cure. I mean, may Allah grant those who are sick and ill cure among the ummah and on earth. I mean, may Allah grant those who are struggling and suffering with anything ease in their difficulty and hardship. Amen. So, here we are asking Allah for cure, but there's a better way of asking. I said, oh Allah, grant me cure. But the better way is, oh owner of cure, grant me cure. Ya Shafi, Allahumma shfi anta shafi. Oh Allah, grant cure. You are the curer. You are the owner of cure. That's a better way. Why? Because I'm acknowledging that Allah is the owner. He is the one. Oh Allah, ar-razzaq. Oh Allah, the owner of sustenance, grant me sustenance. It's a better way of supplicating. So I'm just trying to show you that there's a way of doing things, but there's a better way. This is not wrong, but this is better. Learn the names, attributes of Allah, the qualities. What is it you're asking Allah? I'm asking Him forgiveness. Oh, owner of forgiveness, grant me forgiveness. How's that? Ghafoor, Ghaffar, Tawwab, all these are names connected to the forgiveness that Allah gives. Tawwab, the one who oft forgives, all the time, he accepts the repentance. Tawwab. Ghaffar, one who forgives often, time and again, over and over again. Ghaffar. In the month of Ramadan, we have a night known as Laylatul Qadr, the night of decree. That night, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says the dua, the supplication that is the most powerful is Allahumma innaka afuun. Look how the dua starts. Oh Allah, you are forgiving. Afu. Afu. Allah forgives that which is small, minor, may, whatever it is. Allah will forgive. Oh Allah, you are forgiving. Tuhibbul afwa. You love to forgive. Wow, how's that? Look at the introduction. Oh Allah, you are the forgiver. You love to forgive, so forgive me. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anni. So forgive me. And that term afu, it shows that the person forgiving you actually loses nothing by just forgiving you. That's Allah. Allah is Afu. Because he loses nothing. He gains nothing by your worship and he loses nothing by forgiving you. That's Allah. He's independent. The gain and the loss is yours and mine, not his. If I sin and transgress, it's against me. Allah says it so many times in the Quran. You did something wrong, it's against you. You did something right, it's for you. So the names and qualities of Allah are very, very important. When you want to ask for cure, you speak about Ash-Shafi, the curer. Okay? That's amazing. Similarly, if you take a look at the supplications that are made in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or in the Quran, a lot of the times you'll find beautiful names and qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unfortunately, today we don't know the names, and at times, even if we know them, we don't use them. I know of children who memorize the 100 names of Allah, the 99 names of Allah, and there are more than 99. They're probably 120, 150. The exact number is not actually known. But the 99 that we know, the 99 that are specific, those that are mentioned in a specific hadith, those 99, the hadith says, if you memorize them, if you actually believe them, if you put them into practice in a certain way, then Allah will grant you paradise just because you've recognized your maker. That's the reason. You've recognized your maker. You've recognized who made you and whom you're going to return to. So to know the qualities of Allah is one thing, but use those names. Use them. Oh Allah, you are most forgiving. Forgive me. Oh Allah, this is who you are. This is what you've promised. Oh, these are your qualities. You are the strongest. Grant me strength. Oh Allah, you are the protector. Protect me. You are the giver. Give me. And so on. So getting back to this dua, Habli mulkan la yambaghi li ahadin min ba'di. Sulaiman alayhi salam says, grant me kingdom, ownership of that which you won't give someone after me. He says, innaka antal wahhab. He uses the term wahhab, the name wahhab. You are indeed the giver. Wahhab is one who gives gifts. The one who gives gifts. Al-wahhab. Wahhab. I know of another place where the term, or the name, should I say, wahhab is used in a supplication. It's used in a supplication. Guess which supplication? Anyone knows? In the Quran. Yes. Where else is it used? For what other thing? Here Sulaiman alayhi salam is asking for something that's, well, for you and I, it's impossible. Obviously, for Allah, it's not. He's saying, give me that which you're not going to give someone after me. Something. Yes. Thank you so much. رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. The name Wahhab is, although it's not used there, but it's used for family and children. The name Wahhab is used for family and children. Let me read a verse for you, okay? So you know Zakariya alayhi salam didn't have children, right? What did he say? He says, رَبِّ هَبْلِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ ذُرِّيَّةً طَيِّبًا. Again, he used the term hab. Hab means grant me a gift. Grant me a gift. Of what? Of family, progeny, children who will be a gift from you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says we gave him the gift. And so in the Quran, it says Al-Wahhab. The name of Allah that is used, Wahhab. In this case as well. So Allah's giving the gift. Something that you lost hope about. But not from Allah. Which I didn't lose hope in Allah. But I lost hope in worldly things. People get married. And it's happening often. May Allah grant ease to all those who are married in their marriages. And those who don't have children. Allah bless them with children as well. But it's quite stressful when years are passing. And you know what? People are just looking at you. Thinking, it's about time you started a family. And you're busy thinking, it's got nothing to do with about time. I wanted to start a family the day I got married. In fact, I started a family. But it's up to Allah when He's going to bless us with children, right? People might say, well, you need to be on a strict diet, you know, get off sugars and gluten and this. Yeah, that may help you. It's good to do things that perhaps might, you know, purify your reproductive system in a beautiful way. Perhaps, yeah, you can try that out. It's worked for a lot of people. But at the same time, isn't it some emptiness that you feel within you to say, I don't have children yet, man. Allahu Akbar. Here's the name. Seek forgiveness of Allah. Rabbi ghfirli. Oh Allah, forgive me. And then that wahhab. Innaka antal wahhab. Habli. Oh Allah, grant me. Grant me what? From my wives, from my family members, from my children. Those who will be the coolness of my eyes. So not only am I asking for children and family, but I'm asking for those who will be the coolness of my eyes. When your child grows older and they're adolescent and they grow beyond that, you'd like to at least be happy. Hey, that's my son, that's my daughter. Not like some where as they marry, they divorce. How does that work? You married someone and you divorced your mom and dad. There we go. That's not what Islam teaches. Islam teaches us to look after one another, to try and respect one another. The other day, I spoke about mothers. Some of you might have heard the talk. It was a Friday talk in Cape Town. You won't believe it. I got some hate mail, man, from people saying, how on earth would you ever, ever say what you said? I said, I'm so happy and proud that I did, because normally I've spoken so many times on children and so on. And I've spoken two or three times on mothers. What's the big deal? If anything, I probably didn't do justice to it. Just because I said you must respect them and be kind to them no matter what. What do you mean no matter what? I did make an exception. Go and listen to the talk. Don't come blame me. The reason I'm raising it here again tonight is because we have to talk about things. Just because it didn't fit in your example doesn't mean that I was wrong. Perhaps your unique situation may warrant something drastic, but that's not the norm, is it? So if I say something, if I say, guys, you've got to be kind to your parents and look after them, did I say something wrong? Not at all. But if your parent is an exception where they've been abusive and really toxic and so bad and you've had to go away from them to protect your sanity, and that's a different thing. That's an exception. I'm not going to be speaking, generalizing regarding exceptions. I'm going to generalize regarding the norm, what's happening. So if I were to tell you that you've got to be kind to this person and that person, and I did say, you don't have to obey where they're telling you to do something wrong. Or if they're being nasty, you can address the matter. But just be kind. Remember, that's your mother, that's your father, come what may. They could be the horriblest people on earth, but it doesn't give you the right to become nasty with them. You can step back, you can tell them, you can put your foot down, you can do whatever you have to. But the only thing is, go easy. Be kind. Be kind. Allah chose that test for you. So Sulaiman alayhi salam, when he did that, three things I'm only going to say. Number one is he sought the forgiveness of Allah. Number two is he asked Allah. And number three is he's mentioning the names of Allah that are connected to what he's asking. Allah says, we gave him. Immediately the next verse, you know what Allah says? فَسَخَّرْنَا لَهُ الرِّيحَ تَجْرِي بِأَمْرِهِ. We made the winds under his power. The wind that was blowing, we gave him authority over the wind. Allahu Akbar. Imagine the wind blowing and you're looking and you're saying, a bit more. And suddenly it's blowing more. People think you're crazy, right? You say, for example, calm down, slow down. You know, blow the clouds to that area. And this thing is going there. People think, what's going on here, man? It happened to Sulaiman alayhi salam. Allah gave him the ability. Allah gave him the ability to control certain things to a certain degree. And one of them was the wind, the clouds. He could speak to the animals and the birds and the insects. Imagine you're looking at the ants, especially back where I come from in Zimbabwe. You see these red ants. You don't play with them. They'll finish you up, man. And one guy tells me, you know how to get rid of ants? I said, what? He said, Surah An-Naml. I said, my brother, I've read the whole Quran. They didn't go. I read the whole Quran. They didn't go. It's possible. It could go. Who knows? You can read something maybe. Or, you know, people say all sorts of things. But it's not wrong to take a little bit of spray and spray them. No. But didn't you know what happened? Sulaiman alayhi salam's time. You know, the ant actually told the other ants that, don't worry, you guys can go back in. Sulaiman will not stamp you. And here you are stamping them. I said, but it wasn't haram. If Sulaiman alayhi salam stamped them and walked all over them, he didn't do anything haram. But it's just that Allah gave him a certain gift. If I might be stamping over so many things walking out today, but I'm not sinful. I didn't, you know, intentionally go out and look for things to kill. Not at all. So Allah, make it easy. You want to get rid of the cockroaches that we have back at home. Or you want to get rid of so many other things. You find, no problem, you can. You can. But remember, Allah gave certain people, like Sulaiman alayhi salam, he's the only one that I know who had certain things. And the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, also had similar gifts, but unique in his own way. He says, at times, the animals spoke to him. There was a camel in the hadith. The camel spoke to him complaining about the owner who was overburdening the camel. It's in the hadith. There were stones that spoke to him, greeted him in Makkah. Hadith. Correct. There were miracles that happened. Correct. Well, Sulaiman alayhi salam had other miracles. He had things given to him by Allah. The point being raised is, he says, Rabbi ghfirli. That's the powerful part of it. Oh Allah, forgive me. He's a prophet of Allah. He's a king. Some prophets were actually kings. He was a prophet and a king. And so he's seeking the forgiveness of Allah. Rabbi ghfirli. And grant me this tonight, I want to tell you. Every one of us has needs. Start off by seeking the forgiveness of Allah. The idea is to get onto one page. Someone wants something from you. What do they need to do to you? They need to at least get to you, greet you, smile at you, you know, at least be in good books, right? You say, my brother, can you please do me a favor? Hey, your smile has melted the guy. Before you even ask him the favor, he says, anything, ask me, done, consider it done. Before you ask him, right? Because of how you are, right? Agreed. But if you've had a bad relationship with someone and you've been right on the other side of the coin completely, and you're saying, do me a favor, I need this, I need that. They say, for what? They wouldn't even look in your direction. You wouldn't even feel comfortable asking them. So Allah's example is far higher than that, far greater. Allah is merciful. He's kind. He knows you. He knows your struggles. He knows your uniqueness. He knows your trials. Sometimes a person appears to be very, very close to Allah. They have struggles. Their struggles are hidden from others. They know what they are working on in terms of eradicating their bad habits. A dark habit you may have. It happens. We are human beings. You may have something, if it were to be exposed to the masses, you would probably be embarrassed. If it were to be exposed to your own spouse, you might be embarrassed. So it's between you and Allah. Allah knows it. You know it. Work on it. Work on it. You can do better. You will do better. You shall do better. Because there are so many other things that you need from the same Allah whom you're transgressing against. One of the most important things is Jannah. I need paradise. How do I get it? Well, look, on earth, there's so many distractions. Allah didn't say you won't be distracted. He says that there are distractions. They will be powerful. Abstain, stay away. Wherever you've fallen, come back quickly. That's what happened to Adam alayhi salam. Wherever he fell, he came back. But there was one major fall. That's it. After that, he realized, he recognized the devil as well. He said, you know what? Shaitan's going to come to me and make me go far away from the one I need the most. So Allah Almighty has given us revelation to remind us and to tell us. You turn to Allah.